Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Charlotte Flows. Welcome to Charlotte Flows. Here we are, another opportunity to step out of the doing of life and into the being of life. In this half an hour pocket of time, I share with you musings, learnings and discoveries on living my life by my design, or chatting to inspiring people doing amazing things in the world. I hope you enjoy the show. Just a wee side note that today's recording is done in a public space. You may hear a bit of background noise, but we're enjoying the foyer of a library space. So bear with, but enjoy. Hello, hello, hello. Really excited about the show this week. Another inspiring conversation with an inspiring human doing amazing things. And before we start and dive in to storytelling, nature and well-being, I'm going to read a poem from an experience I had with Jane in this space that just feels like the perfect start to the conversation. For a New Beginning by John Donoghue. In out-of-the-way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you're ready to emerge. Awaken your spirit to adventure, hold nothing back, learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will hone in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. And here we go. This will be a beautiful conversation because that is a beautiful poem. But welcome onto the show, Jane.
Thank you.
And welcome. And let's dive in to the magic of storytelling that brings the magic of nature, the magic of the river that the work that you are doing currently so speaks to, and see where we go. So welcome to the show. I have only recently met you, Jane, but have been quite taken aback by the magic that you ooze in your energy and the work that you and your partner, Rod, do. And last week, I had the absolute pleasure of hosting a walk that was part of the Wairarapa Walking Festival with Jane and Rod. Having met them not 5 minutes ago, created a plan to do something together because it just felt so right, and to dive into the world that they are working in. And we had the most magical experience on an evening in Martinborough near the Ruamahanga River, where we walked, we listened to poetry and stories, and we walked in silence, and we were embraced by nature. And Jane and Rod hosted us in the most beautiful and magical experience. And I think what was taken back was the poetry and the storytelling and how that blended so beautifully. So, and the work that you're doing. So let's just, where should we start? Where would you like to go?
Well, thank you for that introduction, Charlotte. You make me want to go on the walk. I'm glad it went so well.
But yeah, I mean, basically, you've got this beautiful project, which we'll come back to, but I really want to hone into the experience first, and which will make sense in the opposite way, I suppose. But, you know, to have an experience where you walk, and we're very privileged, it wasn't a public access way, it was a very unique experience. We were walking along land that wouldn't normally be able to, next to our river, while enjoying people's company, yet in a beautifully restorative way, and how you guys wound in poetry and silence and stories. I think it just speaks to how beautiful that whole experience is, and how powerful the combination of words, stories and nature can be for humans.
Yeah, it is. As you talk, it makes me think of the layers, and often when one's out in nature, I notice my senses, but not all at once. It comes in layers.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I just hear the birds first, and I obviously, when one's silent, we often say this to the children and young people we work with, if you're still and you're silent, not only do your senses open up, but that nature comes to you.
Mm, yeah.
And so often it is the oral sense first, and then you suddenly drop down and you start to see the light and you start to see in different ways. And then you drop down beneath that, and one might be moving, but you can feel and almost hear the sound of silence.
Yeah.
And I would say, and that sense of that which is that kind of something, nothing, sense of dimension of life out of which everything comes. And I would say, so I guess it's just something that's common to everybody, but people have different words for it. And Rod and I have been really blessed to work a lot for many years with children and young people, and now with three local primary schools. And so I suppose the walk we did last week, in some sense, it was the best of, because we just distilled or picked out the things that we know work for people of all ages and all circumstances. We didn't really know what people would be expecting, but we just shared what we like to do ourselves.
And it spoke to us all, didn't it?
Yeah. And some of our favourite poetry, and also we were trying to... We didn't know how... Because obviously if you walk on your own, you do walk in silence anyway.
Yes.
But sometimes you're not walking in silence, you're walking in the company of your busy mind.
Totally.
And so there's something about being committed to walk in silence together with others, which is incredibly supportive.
Yes.
And we first began doing that years ago in London. Well, just outside London, where we took a group of teenagers, which we often did. And Rod and I have, both of us in different ways, a long background of different kinds of meditation and movement practice, but it was, how can we bring that sense of stillness and silence to the teenagers? So it became a tradition when we took them on camp to get them up in the morning, and before breakfast we would go on a silent walk.
Wow,
and
beautiful.
It was so powerful, and the things they said about it. And I remember I was very nervous before doing that, but somehow I could see it.
The impact. Out.
I remember one of them, some of them were quite tough teenagers, and he said, I've just left behind the meanness of the street and the silence. It's come up and it's taken me. And wow. I was like, wow. Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah.
For a teenager, too.
Yeah, exactly. We've got to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was about being out in the countryside, but we worked right in the middle of King's Cross in London, and then actually started introducing silence into our growing and gardening sessions, and found spots in the middle of London, like St. Pancras Churchyard, which is like a portal to another time, and finding the silence amidst those old trees and the gravestones and all the rest of it, it was helpful.
Yeah, and I can imagine in a setting like that, you're held by the surrounding, aren't you?
Yeah.
Something about the magic of trees and...
But something being together, and I mean the same thing happened last week.
Last week,
yeah. There we were walking along, and suddenly when it there was this sense we were one organism moving in the Whenua, and
it's powerful stuff, isn't it? Something so simple, and you realise that there's something about it that feels so right, but we don't give ourselves, like everybody commented at the end of the walk, that one of the highlights was the walking in silence and the invitation to do that in the world we live in, the busyness, and you know, connection is key, but it's connection on a different level.
So I feel like it's all there, not far beneath the surface. Our job as hosts was just about providing doorways to cross that threshold into experiencing oneself in another way, and if you like, letting what is so often in the background come into the foreground.
Totally, yeah.
And just that little shift of attention.
Yes, and done so subtly and beautifully. And yeah, I think it was, because it was one, we were all a bit unknown of how it was going to go. It was kind of also sort of, you know, what are we providing and what's the expectation? But then that whole group sort of just totally embraced and let go of the day-to-day and sort of just stepped into that opportunity for it to be brought to the fore, as you just so beautifully said.
And
so
it was quite a diverse group, which is all the richer,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah.
If you can say that.
So, yeah. And yeah, which is, I suppose, why the work that you do with children, and so let's touch on to that now, because you do a lot with school groups in the Wararapa and connecting children and nature and storytelling. So tell us a little bit why that is, this, how you found yourself in this space from the work that you guys have done in London and then come back to. How have you got to here?
Well, I grew up here from, so we moved here when I was 11. And my mum, who's now 99, Yvonne, she's lived here ever since. So I, even though I lived for 25 years in London and just came back in 2022, every time I would come and visit her, I would feel quite torn, like that I did have a place here. And it was almost like a fantasy. I thought, wow, imagine if we could be doing some of the nature connection work with children and young people and others. And also I was always very drawn to the awa, the ruamahanga, and I don't swim in it so often, it's not so clean now, but I always used to
swim in it
all the time. And yeah, I felt very, very connected. And then we came together with Rod and myself and my two sisters, Liz and Lucy, in a sense of how we could, as a family, hold, you know, take care of the farm in a more community-oriented way, and yeah, be on, like many others, on that regenerative farming journey. So it was very natural for us to focus on the river, and very natural because of Rod and my background. He was a primary school teacher for many years to do our education work. And thanks to EnviroSchools, got to meet a lot of other, you know, providers in the Wairarapa and get a feeling for what our place might be and what we might offer. And there seemed to be a real interest in the reflective side of the work, along with we're restoring a wetland in the riparian area of the river as it flows past our farm and supporting some other farmers down the river. It seemed that there was a real interest in the reflective, meaning-making side of the work, finding stillness as a way of connecting to nature. So we ran a day for EnviroSchools with some of the facilitators, and I think that gave us confidence in a way to share the best of what we had to offer around that. And we notice, as we structure a day, if we begin it with, we have a number of spots above the river where we can invite children and young people to sit still. And it's true, the birds come close and line up. And then work with storytelling. And I think there is something about opening up that mythic sensibility that enables us to, you could say, as quoting Thomas Berry here, who's been a big influence on me, engage in the big conversation that we're all a part of.
Why?
A big conversation with, you could say, the earth, the sky, and everything in between.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I mean, the reflective work and the things you've done in London in the past and here, has it always been with children or has it been with a mix of age groups?
Well, a mix of age groups, but children and young people have always been a through line.
An entry point.
And teenagers supporting them to take a lead in the work. I just was recently back in London. I'm still very connected and do a little bit of work with the charity Global Generation. And it was so heartening to see that some of those teenagers are now on the staff team.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah, and in their own way, they were from many different cultures.
Yeah.
You know, some of the schools in inner city London have 150 different languages spoken. That was the last count. I thought it was about 50. But
wow, that's
so
incredible.
Very diverse. Yeah. So it was always really important for us to be very light touch about this, to, I would say, create experiences and then support children and young people to give their own words and their own descriptions, because they'll be from many different cultures, many different religions.
Yes.
Including, we did, and we shared some of the readings on the walks, some of those deep time readings about the creative story of where we've all come from.
Yeah.
Both, you see that in all of the indigenous stories, but obviously in the scientific story, and we've often worked with a blend of the two.
The two.
And it was really, really important working with people of different cultures and religious persuasions to just be very light touch and enable them to provide their own narrative. So written and spoken word has always been a big part of our practice.
Yeah.
I've just come from a group of Year 6 students at Southern School just now who we were recording their creation stories about how the Nahere was created and about how the whole of the cosmos was created.
Isn't that beautiful? And just to be able to give them that platform to be able to just go for it.
And they just did a wonderful weave between the mythic and the scientific.
And the science. And that's quite magical.
Yeah.
Let's pause there to ponder, but we're going to listen to a really beautiful piece of music. And this has been composed by Rod, Jane's partner. So something quite special for the show today. So I hope you enjoy. So I'm sure everybody's thoroughly enjoyed that beautiful piece. So thank you, and thank you, Rod, for sharing that with us today, Jane. The power of storytelling. So, you know, you're just talking about the blend of mythical and scientific. And storytelling, you know, it's just something that's ingrained in human nature from back, from the very beginning. And I suppose when we first connected, it was with the dark sky, and I constantly keep thinking about the magic of what you're doing on the land and with the river, and then the connections with the sky and the stories and the cosmos, and just how beautiful this opportunity to blend so many different angles of the beautiful sort of space of the Wairarapa that we are fortunate to exist and enjoy as home. Do you find it interesting how our young people and our school children are seeing this, when you see their reflection of what this means and this future generation? Because we can, you know, as adults get sort of caught up in all the doom and gloom and the problems of the world. But how do you see the magic that comes through of children and the hope that there is for the future and the work that you're doing, and how there is hope in the world? Is there hope, Jane? Do the children see it?
you've said a lot there. I think as you were talking, one of the children's books that's really influenced us is a series of wonderful books written by someone called Jennifer Morgan, Born with a Bang, Larva to Life, and Mammals Who Morph. And in those books, she has the universe telling its story in the first person, but she has this wonderful line, in times of crisis, the universe gets creative. And I think that is something that can give a big sense of resilience and a sense of hope. If you look back on the deep time story and you see when things just seem like they so weren't working, or cells couldn't find a way to complexify, and how long it took, then they did. I'm always useless at the numbers, but several billion years to become eukaryote cells. And then when the meteorite hit Earth and the mammals, the dinosaurs died out, and the little tiny mammals came out of the holes and spread and diversified. So there's plenty of examples of, under stress, we find new ways to work together. And it doesn't mean to say it is going to happen or it's going to happen by itself. It seems at this point in our evolutionary history, it is very much up to us, and you could say up to us to live up to our name, because we're not just Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens sapien.
Oh.
The species that knows it knows.
Oh, now that's interesting. I've not heard that.
But we haven't actually, it feels like we're in the process of discovering
how that
and developing, you could say, and you were talking about stories, that we are the storytelling species, and you were talking about stars and another two other influences, this book called The Journey of the Universe by Mary Evelyn Tucker and Brian Swim, and they talk about how, imagine the early human beings would have sat around in circles, looked up at the stars, and wondered how the universe existed, and created stories out of that.
I mean,
you know, look at all the names of the
constellations and the stars. And what that has given us from a navigational tools and all of the things.
They have been a way of making meaning and a way of, you could say, grounding ourselves or letting, the earth and the wider universe speak to us.
And do the children, I mean, when the children are writing, and you bring that now into the work you're doing, when the children are writing their stories, what's the magic you're seeing in what they see the world as in these young minds that we have?
I think it's their the leaps of imagination, the connections and the creativity they bring to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
magic.
Yeah, and it is so... arguably, I keep talking about books. Now you just remind me. There's someone called Alex Evans who wrote The Myth Gap.
Oh.
And he talks about one of the problems, like why did we never get the climate change message for so long? Because... arguably, we just relied on spreadsheets and statistics and science.
No stories.
Yeah, you know, that a spreadsheet is so, it's so not big enough for the whole of our experience.
Mm.
So I think that whilst it's super important, for it actually to land as a galvanizing force in hearts and minds, I think we have to rekindle the art of storytelling to make those leaps of imagination between, we can do this, what might be possible. And I don't know, I just think that they work at a different level.
Yeah, it creates meaning, doesn't it?
It creates meaning. And
it resonates
and
you feel it.
Like maybe that's it, yeah.
You feel.
Yeah.
It grabs your
heart. It's a feeling experience.
Not your head. Yeah, spreadsheets is on the head level, but to create action, you need to feel.
Yeah. So we usually would begin our sessions with a story. Not so much, there is the content of the story, but it's something about, actually it drops everyone into a zone.
Yes, yes. And I would definitely say that based on our experience last week.
Mm.
We had readings as we went through, and at the end you told a story and we sat and the group sat on the log captivated. This is a group of adults.
Mm.
And I stood there captivated, but also captivated in what I was watching.
Mm.
In a group of adults listening to you tell a story.
Mm.
And how that it was just felt so beautiful and unique.
And thank you. Yeah, I think it can kind of dissolve those separations between all of, you know, as you're listening and the listener and the teller and oneself and the natural world.
Yeah,
like there's something I really love telling stories outside in the bush. We've been fortunate to. Yeah, we run lots of sessions in Wahenga Bush where we walk to.
Yeah,
and. Telling the story in the middle of the bush there, you kind of...
Definitely, but like going back to that sense of what grabs you, it's that, it touched you. It touched you on so many levels, and you sat in a place that was so precious. And then you realised, we've got to treasure this, and we've got to keep it, and we've got to do the right thing. And I think that's where you look to the people like you and Rod and go... thank goodness that you're doing this work to remind us that this is important. Because it really is. And like magic, we've come to the end of our time and I feel like we're just about to launch in a potential, but I think that's also a beautiful place.
Well, I just talking about magic, when we finished the story, we looked up and we saw the sun coming through the trees. So it's something about waking up, in terms of hopeful, just waking up to that.
Yes,
there is magic, around us.
Yeah, there is. And I think that's, I mean, I totally believe that. But that experience, and I'm pretty sure that those groups that you hold and the children that you have to share that space and place with, I'm so grateful that you're doing it, because I'm so grateful that those children get to experience it. And I'm feeling all emotional all of a sudden. Thank you so much, Jane, for chatting to me today. I'm sure it will be the first of many, and I would love at some stage maybe we can record in the woods with Rod and we can have another conversation about the work you do and continue. But when I put the show notes out, I will put some links to some of the beautiful clips and ways you can follow the work that Jane and Rod are doing at the Rumahunga Farm Foundation. And there we go. I'm feeling all sort of magically lit up and fulfilled from this beautiful conversation. So thank you, and thank you for all the work that you do. I'm so glad I've met you and found you and can be a little bit of a part of it. Thank you, as always, to RFM for hosting the show, and I hope you've enjoyed this one. And very shortly, because it is that time, we will be starting to sprinkle some festive magic. So I look forward to bringing the Christmas countdown shows to you very shortly. And so for now, enjoy your week and take care.